Welcome to the Athenaeum Review podcast. We're here at the Reading Room in Dallas on the occasion of the exhibition Eddie Leon Returns, narrative work by Ray Madison, aka Linda and Ed Blackburn, which runs through December 7th and is curated by Caleb Bell. I'm here with the curator and artists to have a conversation about this body of work as well as a broader conversation about their work and artistic careers. So thank you all for being with us today.
Thank you.
So Caleb, I thought I could start by just asking kind of how you came to do this exhibition and what sparked your interest in this body of work.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a long, you know, kind of process. I worked with Ed and Linda both on projects at the Tyler Museum of Art in 2017. And it was really kind of in preparation for that I ran across Eddie Leon, this body of work by Ray Madison. And it has a unique history with the museum, which is really something that really sparked my interest in continuing this. And then I just thought it's really fresh work that really hadn't been seen in a while. And so I thought, you know, let's bring it out, seen in this context. I was also thinking about the Reading Room specializing in the intersection of image and text. And I thought, you know, this is really like a perfect fit.
So when we walk in and look at this exhibition, we learn about Eddie Leon. Eddie Leon is a sign painter who's also a private detective, and we learn something about his adventures. Eddie Leon is an artist who's the creation of the artist Ray Madison, and Ray Madison is the artist who is AKA Linda and Ed Blackburn. So I wondered if I could ask the two of you how you came to think of the idea of an artist who's creating another artist, kind of how you work out all those layers.
Yeah, well, why don't you? I'm going to be interested in this answer too.
You have always worked in media as your art, and how media can be transformed from one media to another to it, because you did those, you did newspaper drawings and paintings. And then you did movies, and they had to do with media, and you transformed media into prints and into more drawings. Yeah. So they were always kind of some of the same subject. And I think it was kind of interesting that somebody made that point about you like the idea of time going by and how a movie is a still, but it still it still stands for something else, and it's a moment in time when you make a painting of a particular, and yet it's a painting at the same time. It's kind of a classic idea of, you know, it's gone through several stages, but it's showing you that a painting, a classic painting, can be made out of something as simple as a movie still.
You know, there's a practical answer that we usually give, and it's real in the sense that we thought, when you're an artist, you're always trying to figure out how to make the economic side of things work out. What jobs do I need? What jobs can I miss and not have to have? And then where does your art fit into it? So anyway, we tried to think up something that would be a job that we would like doing okay. Anyway, we thought, let's do a comic strip, see if we can get it syndicated.
But you had always done comic strips since you were a kid.
Yeah.
You know, he made them up when he was 5 years old, even as a five-year-old.
Well, you even used comics like Nancy and, you know, some of that in your work, too.
Was this, and you both have had very distinguished individual careers as artists, which I want to ask more about. Was this the first time that you'd collaborated on a kind of joint artistic work like this, officially, so to speak?
I think formally, it was the first time, though we had, seemed like we used to do projects to get art back in school. And we would do things together, but we didn't sort of settle down and say, okay, it's going to be a series of works until we did this. Yeah. I think that's the way my memory of it.
Yeah, sometimes some of those early works, we couldn't tell the difference if it was your pain or mine when we were at school.
It must have been an adjustment to I was curious about kind of your working process of, you know, saying like, all right, we're gonna work as a team and this is gonna be our joint product.
No, I don't think it came that way. I think it was just that you had this idea of a story, and you love stories, movie stories, any kind of stories. Yeah. And so that idea of creating drawings at a strip, it's almost, and it's kind of akin to, what is it in the movie? They do the drawings, Hitchcock.
Storyboard.
Storyboard, yeah. Yeah, and it's like always been interested in storyboards. So the comic strip was just kind of a natural thing for him to involve, and it's his particular story. And as it went along, I sort of came in and was able to, he would do the pencil drawings of a strip, and then I would do the inking, and then I would usually do the color, and then we would talk about together, would sort of say, you know, should this be this or that, and kind of work together.
Yeah, we really, and you know, when you read about a strip, they all break it down and say somebody did the pencil and somebody did the
right,
ink.
Right.
Or the same person, whichever. So we had, you know, not only pencil, but ink, but then color.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I always did the pencil and sort of found the form. But we shared, whether it was drawing the black. She did the color.
Yeah. Yeah.
She did almost everything. You know, she'd pick out the color. Yeah. So. It was her color sense in this whole.
So for people who may not have yet seen the exhibition but might listen to this, can you just tell us a little about sort of who this Eddie Leon is and what his story is, what his situation is?
Well, just in one sense, you go ahead. Made up from scratch in one way, certainly has all these traditions behind it, from film noir to pulp fiction to all that, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess also underneath it is the idea of pursuing art to make it. Yeah. But so he's pursuing the stolen art, and he's a private detective, but he's also kind of an artist at the same time. So he kind of functions as a person that's an adventurer character in this type of story,
yeah.
But he's also sort of like an artist looking looking to make, to discover, which is what artists are always doing, discover how to make something ready. So that's kind of the underlying premise of Eddie. The name Eddie is, you know, my name, but I don't know where Leon, there was a theater in Amarillo, Texas where I grew up. It was called the Leon, so that's probably got in there. So.
And Mark Thisaway always called it Eddie Leon.
Oh, sounds kind of French.
High art.
So there is something you may have, I think you mentioned in your conversation with Mark. I wanted to ask about kind of this, the general relationship between painting and narrative. So we have, I believe you'd also mentioned the Heights movie theater in Fort Worth that screened, you know, these classic old movies, I think maybe noir and Western, things like that. And so the movies have the narrative and comic strips have the narrative, but then a painting, like a single painting, is, you know, it's arguable whether narrative is kind of fits with the, you know, looking at a single painting in the same way that, you know, a movie or a comic strip. And I think you may have mentioned the kind of tension between narrative and painting. So I wondered if you could maybe comment a little more on kind of that, like how much is it about telling a narrative or is it about kind of that tension between narrative and painting?
Excellent question. Seriously. Yeah. So we probably have our same, we both have a take on that. Karen deals with art that's an out of narrative. And these pieces to us, I think, were the narrative doesn't really, I mean, it's from the premise that the narrative doesn't really belong in painting and drawing. It's time.
Yeah.
It's got time built into it.
Yeah.
And the whole tradition of art, particularly modern art, is a singular, one-imaged, one moment.
Yeah.
You can see it all.
Yeah.
So you put time in there and attention. It's like it doesn't quite fit in a painting drawing.
Yeah. And then there's another thing, too, is that a lot of times the words act visually as a flattening device, and we're sort of big on formal qualities of it. Learning from Cezanne that I'm creating a tension between something flat and three-dimensional as a tension between the three-dimensionality of the image and the flattening of the canvas.
Talking about some of the flatness actually reminds me, there is, we're thinking about kind of art history and periods and all that sort of thing. Sometimes these might come up of, say, the pop art, 1960s, And there's postmodernism kind of from the 90s. I'm curious in terms of, and I don't know if Caleb is a curator, if you have a comment as well, the sense of kind of these different periods of art, if that's something that you think about at all, the work in relation to those kind of historical periods.
Yeah, you want to talk?
Well, I mean, just from like my personal standpoint, I mean, I definitely think it's definitely rooted in pop art aesthetics. I mean, very much kind of just the colors, the content, you know, I just think it kind of fits in, you know, aesthetically there.
Yeah, I think to answer your sort of question in a way, I think we think about that all the time.
Yeah.
Because when you're thinking about something that can be viable as art now, you're just thinking about where are we? And where's the perception at large? How's it operate?
Yeah.
What's it used? And pop art was such a watershed and opened so many doors about a two-dimensional subject matter that has that two-dimensional life, and it's brought into that world of other dimensions.
Yeah.
And then that two dimensionality is used. And postmodern is really built on that. Use that field that exists as a two dimensional element, and then it put an image on top of that. And to me, that's kind of a nutshell explanation of what postmodern is.
Yeah.
And so even back then, postmodern hadn't quite been a term probably when we started these things, but it was still an underlying premise. That, because we had done stuff that you had a surface some way that was from some two-dimensional element in the world, brought it in and you drew on top of it.
Yeah.
And instead of the usual field, it's already 2D field. So anyway, we think about that a lot. And so it's an underlying, it's all about when you make an art, it seems like it's like something that you can really see. That, you know, that's the determining factor, I think, about can you make good art? It's like, well, I don't know, can you see it? And that all is hinged on not only what's available now, where are we, but essential 2D, 3D balance is underneath all painting and drawing, and everybody comes at it like, how am I going to work this? And so that's, you know, the things that we've been talking about here about where this came from in comic strips and all of the past and all that. It's a real important part of it, but it's always like, how can that be used to make an interesting painting and drawing? And I always thought that we were doing these comic strips from a standpoint of like little comic strip. But when I look back on it now, I realized from the outset in figuring out what kind of form is that comic image going to have.
Yeah.
It, right off the bat, did away with any kind of illusionary thing that's in a comic.
Yeah.
You don't usually think of comic illusionary, but if you look at a comic strip and you have a dark shape under for a shadow, that's an illusionary element.
Yeah, yeah.
We immediately stepped away from that. All the marks, you know, none of them have that. They have contour to build form. And when you establish it that way and you blow it up even that much, the other kind of form starts right away to get kind of screwy. A big shape is just kind of this floating blob. But if it's a contour element, this actual mark on a piece of paper or a canvas, you can just keep going with that. So it made me realize we never did really want to make a straight comic strip, though we thought we did. We had in the back of our mind that we were making art by the fact that we did it that way.
Yeah, I also wanted to ask, kind of stepping back and at least mentioning some of both of your other work as well, some of the different series of paintings, the Bible paintings by Ed and the bee landscapes by Linda, they're kind of there's certain subject matter, well, where if you talk about the subject matter, you say, oh, it's, you know, it's from the Bible, or it's from Western movies, you might, without actually seeing the work, you might say, oh, well, that's kind of like very familiar mainstream kind of culture that anyone, you know, anyone living in this country would recognize. But when you actually look at the paintings that you've done, it's this, to me, I find a very kind of surprising twist. I don't know if you'd call it, if it would be considered pop, or if you wouldn't want to put a label on it. But I thought that, I guess, in both of your work, there's this way in which you take a subject that may seem like something we know or something very familiar, but then as you artistically work on it and create a visual treatment of this, that it's quite surprising. So I guess my question might be how you think about the subjects that you find, and then kind of what you do with them. It's a very open question.
Yeah, good question. As you're talking, I'm thinking about those bee. What'd you title that show?
Bee landscape.
That you might speak to the way that you titled them after Perry Mason character.
Yeah, I just wanted to do generic landscapes, but make everything up.
Yeah.
So that gave it a different. And then I did start with black and white, and I had a black border, so it felt like a film strip when I started them. But I think it was just the idea of trying to find, and I think this is what all artists do, is trying to find or go and listen to what it is you want to do, and know that if it's what you want to do, pull out of yourself, then it must be you, and it must be valuable, because it's not like anything else. And so whatever it takes to get to that point, to just go on total intuition and just go on saying, I'm not going to do what's trendy. I'm not going to do what's out there that was done in Art in America last month. I'm just going to see if I can pull up and do what I like. And that's what I did on those. And that's what I've always done on even Western paintings. And he has a completely different way of approaching it, in that in his is more what thought out and carefully contrived. His
It is.
And it is just a more thinking man's way of doing it.
It's sort of the Marlboro man. this kind of discussion is really interesting for us, because we do find out things. We intuitively interact. Speak about it, we kind of discover how to step back. Oh yeah, we're pretty different, and things like that, So, but we learn a lot from each other as artists. I can step back far enough to say we really have some strands that interact a lot, but we have a lot of differences and a different way of approaching it. So But that is a sort of surface, but meaningful breakdown that Linda's by far the intuitive one. She was doing a very loose painting on the floor, and I had no sense of how that worked. That was my first time I ever spoke to her, was, how do you do that? And she just said, you just have to do it.
Yeah.
I've been doing that ever since.
let me ask the kind of contrast you're just talking about. Does that play out in a certain way with Eddie Leon in terms of how together?
I think I refined him. His natural way would be to do it a bit more shaggy. And so there.
It seems like there's, the creative creative tension.
Yeah, the balance is nice.
Yeah.
It makes it work.
And we've noticed over the years that Linda's work, mine will often get funky and loose and scruffy and those kinds of things. And my palette is much more sort of controlled.
Yeah.
But it still ends up that way. And hers is the other way around. She just sort of slops paint around, but then when it ends up on the canvas, it's real clean and it's real
crisp.
Specific. And
not all. Whatever.
I mean, these cowboy paintings that she's doing now, there's something
ordered, perhaps, more than, even though they're loose and floppy, they're still ordered.
They're clean looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your palette is, don't worry about
that. I'd
like
them to be kind of really classic and solid.
Whereas
his is not, his idea of classic and solid is flopping around.
But we just wing it a lot. I don't know if that was part of your question.
Sure.
In terms of how we arrive at these.
When we have to work on a project together, particularly a video, or maybe we can have a lot of arguments about things, and then go away and say, and then one will come. Yeah, so it just takes that a little bit of time to pull it together.
When you mentioned Ed a moment ago, when you first two of you first met, I wanted to ask. So I know that you studied together, and there's both got the MFA in Berkeley, and then there was in California and New York, and then you've been here in Fort Worth for some time. Just looking back, I was curious if either in your studies or since then, if there were certain moments or influences or certain kind of things from your going all the, you know, back to your education that sort of really stuck with you and kind of helped form your artistic vision that would just come to mind as a key moment in kind of creating educationally where you were coming from at the beginning of your career.
I don't know, school, I guess we have to speak from it from our own standpoint, but school to me was certainly valuable, but not maybe as, I didn't tune into it as, it was nice being around other artists. And I know you save a whole lot of time doing it on my own, a lot. I was kind of focused on what I wanted to do as an artist, but I was a little bit distracted from everything else. And I knew from getting to know Linda back then that she was more tuned in to learning from school about certain things. When we first met, she was looking at those early Christian churches. She was doing all kinds of things. And it was like, you know, waking up to a lot of stuff that she was really tuning into.
Art history meant a lot to me more than it did him. Particularly architecture and sculpture.
Focus in another way. And I have my own focus, but they're different, that's all.
I guess a sort of related question would be how, you know, over the time that you've been working in Fort Worth or in DFW area more broadly, I wondered about kind of your sense of this as a place and kind of whether, you know, as artists, how you relate to kind of the context of, around here and how that might affect what you're thinking about.
Well, looking back also, I can see in a way a need for interaction with other artists and maybe me more than, and so I'd always made sure that I was kind of, once we got out of school and realized we don't have these other people around, it was like seeking out some people that you could communicate with. But an interesting little side note on that whole thing about being in this area is it's pretty much like Linda described it with this other edge that I remember in the late 60s, and maybe this was more pronounced with me, it probably was, and why I'm remembering it slightly differently. But there was always this thought, like, we probably need to be somewhere else if we're going to get anything going. And we actually entertained the possibility a couple of times around that period, the late 60s, to be in that larger art. Okay, this is the edge that came in, was Henry Hopkins coming to the Modern. And it had been much more provincial, the Modern, in Fort Worth. And he opened it up in a way and started inviting.
And we got to meet them, have dinner with them, which was like, you know.
It just changed the feeling of the whole place. And it was kind of like, there's stuff going on here. That wasn't 2 or 3 years before. And he also started including artists in shows that he would put together, and buying art from Texas artists. So it was almost a trend when he got here about 69, was it 69 or 68?
There's something else I mentioned a moment ago, Ed, I wanted to ask again about, I read, actually, I was doing research and I read D. Mitchell's review of the show of the Bible paintings in Art Forum, and I thought this was really interesting because this what he said was that he went in and was sort of suspicious. He said he wasn't sure if he was ready to deal with it, but he was actually very favorably impressed by the paintings, and he said that instead of the kind of subjects that you might find in a Baroque church, like the Annunciation or the Resurrection, that the subjects were ones like David and Goliath, Cain and Abel, that were kind of these dramatic stories that, you know, like kids would be interested in. And as I read that, I was thinking, oh, right, you know, like Eddie Leon, like, you know, exciting, dramatic stories, and there's some violence, and there's some this and that. So I wonder, if is that the same kind of approach that you would bring to those, I mean, the sense of what you're looking for in terms of drama and narrative and kind of excitement? Does it all kind of fit together that way?
Yeah, I think definitely. Yeah, it does fit together. And the narrative running through it and the tension that comes from that was definitely right in the middle of those Bible paintings.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to do them because to me, the stories are meaningful.
Yeah.
And, but that, and you know what? It seems like always this kind of comes back around to whether either one of us are talking about it. It's like, because Linda talks about this a lot in these cowboy paintings that she's been doing recently, that the mystery and the drama and all of those elements that are that we're talking about that are in these narratives, that really is the finally the mystery and the drama and the discovery and all of that is when you make a painting or a drawing.
Yeah, it comes together.
You're really discovering how to do it. And even though the narrative is on the front, the surface, that's the real interest and excitement of it is making that discovery as a painting or a drawing.
Yeah.
You know, and how it works.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I'm really answering your question right, but there's a definite correlation about that with the Bible painting.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff Kelly, who was at UTA, and he had a show commemorating the JFK assassination in Dallas. It must have been an anniversary year or something. And he asked some artists to come and do a piece that had something to do with the JFK. And Ed did. And I was totally amazed that he did this. And then I got to be amazed at the stories, because he ended the story of Kane. That just sort of showed you the whole idea, same moral,
Yeah.
I was thinking back before the Bible paintings, the movie paintings, and kind of the drama and, you know, Gunfighter, OK Corral, these other, you know, violence, action, you know, kind of spy, you know, kind of elements. So even before the Bible paintings, there was already kind of that, you know, idea building up and kind of continuing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that was...
And the Hitchcock movies, too, seem to have it all into that thing of a... So a person defending themselves, and there's always a moral edge at the end, you know, that good versus always wins out. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking about the Tyler Museum of Art's maroon painting, Saving the Dead.
Yeah. Those are pretty basic, and that JFK painting, it just seemed like a fit. And then I thought about it later, and somebody asked me to describe it. How does this fit in to the JFK? And I just thought, I made the ultimate bad decision. This is how you resolve something. No, bad decision.
Bringing up, bringing up this question of moral and good and bad and so forth, I wanted to ask, part of what's going on, I think, with some of these classic film noir, right, that sort of gets topsy. You don't know who's good and who's bad, or if anyone's, you know, out there trying to actually make things right or not, or if it's all just purely kind of unsettled. And so I wonder, coming back to I think what you mentioned at the beginning, the way Eddie Leon is a little bit like he's kind of on this quest for art, or like his searching is kind of like searching in the way that we want to find something in of art. I guess do you feel like when you're presenting your artwork to viewers that kind of question, you know, Cain and Abel, engaging with the morality question, kind of secondary to just the visual, if that makes sense.
No, makes perfect sense to me.
I think it's probably in there, but I understand it. You don't really think about it when you're doing it. You know, just who you are. That's what is attractive to you somehow. Yeah. Date in your spirit or something.
Well, it seems like also when you're doing that, when you're making those decisions, you know, you're making a series of decisions about this piece of work. The idea of when is it good? Is it a good piece? It's a real moral question. I think it was Ben Shahn. I think it was in that book of his, Shape of Content. He said, art is a series of decisions. And I've been across that and wondering what that exactly meant. And it makes more and more sense to me. But the art just, you know, you do it, as Linda was saying, you do it so much intuitively.
Yeah.
It still has to have a a wholeness and an integrity, and all those things kind of come back to truth and honesty.
Is it all?
I think it really is a moral question underneath. I would frame it that way for answer to when did you decide this piece work? It would kind of come back to those sorts of judgment calls.
Be solid and true. I don't know, there's a way to do a certain order. That's what gives it value as time goes by. It's there. I'd love to continue to look at it because the human psyche wants, desires.
Well,
finally, let me just ask if you might be able to tell us a little bit about what you might be currently working on. If I don't know if you're working on more Eddie Leon, right?
No.
If we have any more Eddie Leon.
Or just other things that you might have.
Well, dramatic Western movie things, but they're really more painting than they are Western. In a drama, is a stage for a drama.
So she's got this series going on as a bystander, as an observer, I would say. This seems to still be going, you know, it's going along. And so she's been really, continues to be involved with that. And I've got a series of paintings that I've had over the last 2 or 3 years that are related to media and news events, but they're a little different edge to them. And then I have this thing I do on this web, on this mailing that I do that has to do with both news imagery and then just making art Photoshop and sending it out. I concocted this idea that I was going to have this show. It started about 4 years ago, and I would send out a couple of things a week, 2 or 3 sometime.
Email as art.
And it's sort of like an idea that it's a new medium as far as I'm concerned, in the sense that it exists in this little space that we call email. And you can send it out, and it's really just there. It's not a or something, it's just there. So I stay pretty involved with that still at this point. It's sort of an exhibition.
It's called Not Exactly.
Is it possible for, if someone might be listening, is it possible for people to request to be added to this?
Sure, totally. That's how it goes.
Would we say I was interested in getting, would I just email you or?
If you email.
Or if anyone, would you be willing to share your email if anyone's listening to this and wants to hear?
Sure. It's our US Blackburn at 3901 at charter.com.
Okay.
And I was sort of split up into groups so that it doesn't get clogged up.
Movie images and then creates a drawing on top and poems, and then he makes a piece of real poem. It's always been got those words in there, and then political comments. Well, they're not really, tries to stay cool in his political commentary,
which is hard.
It's a good challenge. But one of the ideas is to make images that are about the news, see it in a fresh way. So meaning, make art out of that. And so I do try to sort of make it just about itself and not really certain. But it's just a combination of that and making art. So that's sort of ongoing with me. And the other is also the paintings. That's our two thrust right now, I guess.
Right. I'm talking with the curator, Caleb Bell, and the artists, Linda and Ed Blackburn, about the exhibition Eddie Leon Returns, Narrative Work by Ray Madison at the Reading Room. Thank you all for speaking.
This has been such a nice way to have an interview because the questions are great.
It's certainly a pleasure. This is the Athenaeum Review podcast, and you can find out more at athenaeumreview.org.